conversation this morning with Deanna Engel. She is the public health nurse here in Lincoln County. And good morning, Deanna.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Nice for you to be here, too. Very nice to meet you, by the way. I'm glad you could be here with us today.
Well, great. It's nice to meet you.
This is a very important conversation we're going to have here this morning. Substance abuse is no joke. It's not a laughing matter. It's something that should not be judged. It's an illness. It's a disease. And there are treatments available for addiction. And we're going to touch on that a little bit here. But more importantly, I think a lot of people, Deanna, are familiar with the opioid settlement and all the news behind that. If not, the pharmaceutical company was held liable for a lot of people getting hooked on their drugs that they were pushing and that they were selling. And now state's got a whole bunch of money to help reverse some of the effects of some of that abuse that took place over all those years. And so the first question is, how are they paying for all this stuff? Well, from the opioid settlement. So Lincoln County has a bunch of money that we're sitting on due to that, correct?
That's correct, yes.
We must be sitting on a lot because we're going to be giving away a lot of things that may save lives. So hopefully we're going to have enough to get the job done.
Not every state was involved in this settlement program. It was just certain states. Wisconsin was one of those states that was part of the litigation process. And there are hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be distributed to each state. Each state is handling it a little bit differently.
So here in the state of Wisconsin, here in Lincoln County, I would assume that some folks went through the process of securing some of those dollars. And once we had those dollars in hand, it seems to me like you already had a plan on how to use some of those dollars.
Yes. It's been over a year. An opioid task force was created. I was not part of that process. We did have another person that's no longer with the department that was leading that program. And many experts from different fields in law enforcement, healthcare, the school systems, probation and parole, different aspects, social services came together and are part of that task force. And they were meeting regularly to discuss best ways to spend the funding.
And so obviously we have a situation here in Lincoln County that needs attention, according to this task force.
Yes, there was a 2025 Lincoln County substance use report that was done. And that is actually accessible to the public. You can go to our Lincoln County Health Department website and read the entire report. It's about 45 pages, very in detail, very specific. There's graphics to kind of explain what the problem is specifically to Lincoln County.
Okay, so if people want to follow up on that, we'll give them some information on how to do that again before we let you out of here this morning, Deanna. So first of all, a little bit of background on yourself. What is your health background and what brings you to being our public health nurse here in Lincoln County?
Okay. Well, actually, I'm not from the area. I grew up and was born and raised in Milwaukee.
Okay.
I did come to Lincoln County approximately 4 years ago. I was living in the south part of the state in Wisconsin. We moved up here. My husband is from the area, Park Falls.
Okay.
So I've been with Lincoln County Health Department for 4 years, and I've been a nurse a long time. I do have some experience. I worked as a medical detox nurse in the state of Illinois for several years back in the early to mid-2000s. And at that time, heroin was a big problem. I'm familiar with the detox process and what it requires. And the problem's been bad since then. And it's only gotten worse with the fentanyl crisis.
Yeah. So you've been a nurse for years.
But you're not
a specialist when it comes to addiction and that kind of thing, though. You're not claiming to be any specialist on that, right?
That's exactly right. Thank you for pointing that out. I am in no way an expert. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a counselor. There are some real skills and skill sets that are required to do all of that. I'm a registered nurse with a bachelor's degree, and I have some experience, some work history with this issue. And so that is the extent of my knowledge.
So did you volunteer for this position here in Lincoln County?
I did. I'm not a member of the opioid task force. I did attend a few meetings early on, so I have some awareness of that, but I'm not involved in that process. We did have another person that was leading the task force, and I spoke with her about the Narcan and how I thought that there is no training that's required. There's no certification to use Narcan in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's not like CPR where you have to have a certificate that's renewed every 2 years. Any adult can carry and administer Narcan in the state of Wisconsin. There's a standing order. No prescription is necessary. And so I thought it was important that people feel comfortable in, if they're going to carry Narcan, how to use it. It's pretty simple, but some people, you know, are more comfortable by having a demonstration to go over how to use it.
Stigma is a big factor in why people stay in their addictions, because they don't want to tell people. They're ashamed of it for all the different reasons. And gosh, I just wish we can shine some light, make those people see that they're in that situation. They may have started taking some of these pills, but very few people understand addiction as a disease. And just like cancer or any other disease, it should be looked at in the same way. And so it'd be nice if we could just get rid of that stigma and just people, okay, I'm sick, I need help, give me some medicine, I need some help and information and medicine. I wish that more people would think about addiction that way, Deanna.
That's exactly right, and that's a good point. And stigma is, it's a real thing. And I know at one point before I was involved in medically detoxing people who were in acute withdrawals, which is a very painful, unpleasant process, very difficult to go through. And I understand why people want to avoid that because it is so unpleasant. But prior to that, when I was an inpatient nurse, I saw a lot of things and I kind of had that same mentality where, oh, this is just poor life choices. Yeah. These are bad decisions. This is, and put a lot of the blame on people who are struggling with this very serious issue. And then after many years of medically detoxing person, I started to have a different perspective. These people are struggling. This is a chronic brain disease. It makes changes in your brain, the way your brain operates, and there are structural changes, that chemical changes that take place, and it's very difficult. It's easy to blame people, but you have to understand that they're going through something that is a chronic disease.
And it's for no other, one of the correlations I try to make in my mind is that people that have an addiction, they should look at it as a disease. People that get cancer don't ask for cancer. Sometimes they make some choices where cancer may be, but they're not choosing cancer, and people are not choosing addiction. Why can some people have a few beers and other people can't? Because we're wired differently. We have different chemical makeups in our brains. Some people are more susceptible to becoming an addict than others, and that's same thing with any other disease. Some people are just more susceptible.
That's exactly right. And they are finding, they're doing a lot of studies, and this is a subject that's being constantly researched, and they are finding there is a genetic component to this. You know, if you look at your family history, if you have parents, if you have siblings, if you have people, a lot of people in your family history that struggle with alcoholism or substance abuse issues, these are things that you have to really be aware that, you know, there is some genetic link to being predisposed or higher risk than people who have no history at all.
So beyond how everything gets started, we're here to deal with today for people that are in the throes of addiction and need some help. And so once again, the Wisconsin Addiction Helpline is 211. Just dial 211. There are people there that want to help. So that's the first step.
Yes, that's right. And that's a good first step. They can offer a lot of different options, resources. There should be, they look at ways to break down barriers. So if you are concerned about having no health insurance, if you're concerned about transportation or other issues, they are going to help you find resources that can overcome some of your barriers to care.
You've got a lot of interesting numbers to look at here, some interesting literature that the health department here in Lincoln County is putting out to help us understand these things. Health insurance coverage may be something that's keeping people in their addiction situation. 5% of Lincoln County residents don't have any insurance.
That's right.
6% are suffering from medical debt that are in collections, and so they don't have money to make more bills, more medical bills, and so they stay in their situation because of that.
That's exactly right, yes.
There's a lot of other reasons here, too, but I want to just make people aware that there is a lot of good information, easy-to-read stuff to help us understand what's going on here in our community and in others around us. And again, just reading up on the stigma factors and how they can get beyond that is going to be a big help. So I encourage people to go to Lincoln County's website and get some of these pieces of information that I'm looking at right now. I'm also looking at a package here that you handed me, and now this is the kit, so to speak, that you're giving people right now. All they have to do is ask. This is all free stuff here, thanks to this opioid settlement, and it's looking like this is some pretty serious stuff here. So tell me about this kit that you handed me, Deanna.
Sure. So we put a little kit together that we feel is helpful. Now, this is going to be, it's free. It's completely free, and that, again, is funded by those settlement dollars. So this we will give out to anybody that has a need for it or comes in and asks. All they need to do is they can call us if they have any questions, or they can stop in at the Lincoln County Health Department anytime during our working hours from 8 a.m. to 4:30 and ask for the free Narcan, and we will give that to them. A lot of people may have questions about how to use it, or they don't feel comfortable. It is a nasal spray. Mm-hmm. So, and there's step-by-step instructions in the kit. It has a little picture gram, so you can just follow that. We have on our website, we have a 1 minute video that kind of walks you through it step by step. But if that's something that you're still uncomfortable with, they can certainly ask to speak to one of our public health nurses. My name's Deanna. You could ask for me, and I would be happy to come out and do like a quick tutorial, like a little demonstration for you, so that you're more comfortable in knowing exactly how to use it and when to use it, or if you have questions.
So first of all, who are the people that should be carrying these kits, first of all?
The people that it's very important to, you know, if you're out there and you have somebody in your family that is using any kind of prescription or possibly a non-prescription type of opioid that you're aware of, you should have this kit. A lot of times providers will send with your prescription for your opioids, they will send also the Narcan with you, so you can take that home. If they don't, you can keep this at home. Some people post-surgically, after a surgical procedure, or you know, they may be taking opioid type of pain pills. Yeah. For it might be 2 or 3 days, but it might be longer. So anybody that's using opioids, whether it's prescription or if you know somebody that may be using or you suspect of using a non-prescription opioid, that you are a person that should be have this at home or carry it with you.
And again, the people that are going to need this that have been taking those opioids, most of them from, I've done a little bit of research on this, Deanna, and mm-hmm. some of the things I've learned is that a lot of people, when they were treated after a surgery or something like that, injury, a football injury, tennis injury, pickleball injury, just folks going about their everyday lives that get injured, they have to have a surgery to get it fixed. Back a few years ago, doctors were prescribing this stuff because they were told by their the people that were supplying them with the drugs, you don't have to worry about addiction with this stuff. This stuff is safe to give. You know, pain's a bad thing. Make sure you feel safe about giving this to your patients. All of a sudden, all these patients are addicted to the stuff.
That's exactly right. And I remember that because I at that time, it was... I can't tell you how many people that I've spoken to working in medical detox who told me that this is, I'm just an average citizen. I'm a person. I'm a police officer. I'm a EMT. I'm a nurse. I'm a housewife. It doesn't matter. These are people that went home with a prescription and continued to have refills signed mm-hmm. by their provider because they didn't know at that right. time. And that's how the problem started. So it's you can't have a stereotype of who's using or overusing these medications. It can happen to anybody very quickly.
So if you know somebody who's in the throes of addiction, for whatever reason, you should be carrying one of these. And it's easy to carry. It would snap right to your belt. I would assume this would disappear in a lot of women's purses. So it'd be right there handy in the bottom line. Yeah, you got a big,
I carry one with me. There's 2 doses of Narcan in there, again, with a little instruction.
How do we know if somebody needs this or not? That's the other thing. When it comes to administering this, first of all, how do we know somebody's going to need it? How do we spot that the person is suffering right now, and without this stuff, they're going to die?
Sure. The most obvious way is if you encounter somebody or you walk into a room or an area and somebody is possibly slumped over, they're non-responsive. Hey, wake up, wake up. You try to, you know, wake them. Okay. They're non-responsive. They are breathing very shallowly or gurgling or not breathing. Those are things that you can look at. You can look at their eye, their pupil. If it's very constricted or very tiny, like mm-hmm. a pinpoint, they may be sweaty, clammy, those kinds of things, but definitely non-responsive and not breathing, or you're not sure if they're breathing. Those are the two key things that you want to use the Narcan.
Since it's a nasal spray, I know about with my sinuses, I got to take a shot up the nose every once in a while, but I have to do the active act of, you know, breathing it up in. If somebody is unresponsive, how do they get this into their system?
The best way is to actually get a person onto on their back. And then you can kind of open their airway by lifting their chin a little bit. If they're not breathing, they're turning kind of blue, or you don't detect any breathing, you just insert the nozzle. It's a very clear nozzle up either nostril, doesn't matter, and you just push the plunger.
You squirt it.
That's it. One direct firm squirt, and that is it. And you can give multiple doses because you'll wait 2 to 3 minutes, and if there's no response, you do a second dose. Sometimes it takes multiple doses depending on how much drug is in their system.
And then I would assume once they come to, I would say call 911 and say somebody here needs some help.
You're always going to call 911,
okay.
Yes. And,
yep.
And if you want to call 911 immediately and then administer the Narcan, or if you want to administer the Narcan and then immediately call 911, whatever, that's fine. But you always want to call 911. This is an emergency.
Going back to some of my CPR lessons that I learned back in the day, it sounds like getting a person ready to receive this Narcan is opening that airway. It's kind of the same thing you do right before you're going to give somebody CPR.
Exactly. I mean, that's why you want, it's hard, you're not going to do this if somebody's slumped over in their seat. You want to, if you can, get a person on their back so that you can kind of see what's going on and you can kind of lift
their
chin.
Lift them up by the back of the neck or the chin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Push the forehead down, open that airway, and see if they'll respond and they start breathing. Sometimes it moves the tongue around, that's blocking the airway. But if not, you're going to administer the Narcan, because what the Narcan does is it reverses the opioids, and it will restart that breathing. That's the intent of it, is to get that breathing going.
And so once, what are the signs? It'll be obvious once a person starts coming around if this stuff is working or not.
Yes. Okay. I mean, they're going to become responsive. You're going to see some movement. You're going to notice breathing. They may open their eyes, but you want to kind of keep watching for that breathing, because that's the key thing, is you want to restore the breathing. That's what the Narcan is used for.
And is the person that had been in that OD situation there, are they going to realize what happened? Are they going to, what are they going to be like? What is their demeanor going to be like once they come out of it?
You know, that varies, but I would say from my experience, people, especially if they're a regular opioid user and you just given them Narcan, what you're doing is reversing all the effects of the opioid of the drug. And so they're going to probably go into acute withdrawal. They may not be in a very good mood. They may be combative. They may be a little bit agitated. They may be scared.
Yeah.
You know, things are going to vary from person to person. No two people are alike. But as long as they're breathing, what you'd want to do is get them onto their side in a sideline position. And you're going to wait for first responders to arrive. And you want to just keep an eye on them, because they could become responsive and start breathing, and then they could overdose again after a few minutes.
So chances are they may receive this Narcan, and they're not going to lay there and all of a sudden come to a realization, oh my gosh, what have I done to myself? Please give me some more help. You never know what kind of reaction this person's going to have once they come back.
Exactly. It varies from person to person. And I just want to make it clear that this Narcan is not a treatment. This is simply a tool that you can carry with you. Pull it out in your toolbox, and there's a breathing mask there too. So sometimes you may give the two doses and still get no response. At that point, if you're still waiting for first responders to arrive, you can pull out a breathing mask and maybe do some mouth-to-mouth breathing. That would be helpful also, because again, you want to restore breathing quickly.
I don't want to make light of this. I don't want anybody to think I'm making light of this, but how many of the, you never know what circles people travel in. How many of these should the average person have on their person at any time? And I would assume that it depends on who you're hanging out with and what are some of the things that they like to do. I think that people should have one just in general, but what if somebody says, you know what, I need two or three of these things to be on the safe side?
If somebody says, I would like two or three, there's a reason that they want two or three.
Yeah.
We don't have any problem with that. I certainly wouldn't. I'm not going to be questioning people, but one kit should be adequate for your average person.
Okay.
And because you have two doses in there, again, you can use multiple doses safely. They can be used on children. It could be used on a pet. It could be used on any adult. And it is safe to use. If a person's not breathing, you don't have a lot of options. You've got to get them breathing, because if they're not breathing, it's imminent death. So this is a good option. But one kit call 911 immediately. You've got help on the way.
And Deanna, how can people get these once again? They're absolutely free. No questions asked. Just say, you know what, I'm here for my free overdose emergency kit.
That's exactly right. You can just walk into the Lincoln County Health Department. We are at 607 North Sales Street, right down the street from Merrill High School. So you can walk in anytime during business hours and just come down to the lower level. That's where we're located, and ask for a free Narcan kit. And if you have questions, any questions, just ask to speak to one of the nurses. We are happy to kind of come out there and answer any questions that you have, or give you a little demonstration, show you how the kit works.
And most importantly, no judgment. Just get the help, because it's here. It's free. Please do not be afraid to ask for the help if you need it. Deanna, how would you like to leave us here this morning before I let you get back to your regular job?
I'd just like to say that this Narcan is just like it's an emergency medication. It's like an EpiPen if you have a life-threatening allergy.
Yeah.
You carry it just in case, because you never know. You might need it someday, and it could save a life. And that life goes on for another day to maybe seek treatment. That's what we want to do, keep people alive.
And you know what? We never know when we're talking here on the radio, but maybe our conversation may save a few lives here today. And if that's the case, then God bless. And thank you very much for being here, Deanna. And thanks for doing what you're doing as our public health nurse as well. Very important work. And so you're welcome here anytime, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Deanna Engel is our public health nurse here. Ask for your emergency overdose kit at the Lincoln County Sales Street location. Again, you can call 536-0307. Go online to LincolnCountyHealthDepartment.com to get all the information. And again, you just might save somebody's life with this overdose kit. Please, please ask for yours soon.